Well, you've heard of dogs, and you've heard of fashion shows. How about putting those two together? The dog fashion show here in Minneapolis on a Thursday night in podcast 906. The Bob Davis Podcast.
Well, we're having freezing and thawing, and of course, that can cause plumbing and heating problems. I'll tell you more about Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business later in the podcast. But you can check them out if you need help at ryanplumbing.com. And this podcast is sponsored by Depot Star. Of course, with all the talk about foreign manufacturing and coronavirus, a lot of companies are thinking about bringing their manufacturing back to the United States. If this is you, don't forget Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit Depot Star at depotstar.com, DepotStar, depotstar.com.
Just to see the dogs.
What's the only reason why... we are hosting a dog fashion show.
We only have two dogs right now. They're going to be in the fashion show. Are they just spectators?
You know, spectators, possibly in the dog show. My guess is the dog show, but people are allowed to bring their dogs, so who knows? They could be guests as well.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun.
So this is this place here in Minneapolis. It's in North Minneapolis, kind of by the farmer's market. And it's just basically a giant indoor dog park. And then there's like a bar and kitchen here. So you can get pizza and corn dogs and stuff like that. And this is the venue for this. And my friend Stephanie Fleming has put this whole thing together.
They say running a small business is like a dog's life because you work all the time and you work like a dog. And you want that business to be worth something later in life, right? You want to be successful. And to do that, you have to think strategically. And to think strategically, you need a lawyer that thinks strategically. And I'm going to refer you to Virtus Law, because when it comes to business, Virtus Law offers full services. But if you're a small business owner, if you really want to think strategically, you need Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. Because the truth is, to be on top of things today, you can't just think a couple steps ahead. For example, management service agreements, of course, succession for family-owned businesses, estate planning, partnerships, and of course, asset protection, debt issues, and income tax planning. And let's not forget HR, human resources, which causes a lot of problems for small business. Remember, Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law, V-I-R-T-U-S, virtuslaw.com. And it's true. You want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions to make all that work worth it. And that is what Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders at Virtus Law, does. Full legal services, strategic planners with fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law, 612-888-1000, 612-888-1000. Virtus Law serves small businesses and their owners. Visit them online at virtuslaw.com. They have a great customer interface that where you can explain your needs and you can get a good idea of what they do at Virtus Law, or click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com.
For dogs that have been rescues in the past to walk down a purple sequined aisle and strut their stuff. Along with them will be about 15 other dogs up for adoption, and all the proceeds go to support animal rescue endeavors.
So there's a lot of adoption dogs around here.
Oh gosh, yeah, there's just as many dogs up for adoption as there are in the show.
And some of them have pooped. So there's people on poop patrol.
There are poop patrol people. Yes, I'm not one of them today.
And what's the name of this place?
It's called Unleashed Hounds and Hops.
It's in Northeast.
It's the first indoor dog park where you can actually drink and eat.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a little bit of a different kind of podcast, because this is kind of a two-for-one podcast. I came home, and I came home because I had worked a little bit with Stephanie on this event as part of our business networking thing. And so I wanted to get back home to get to the event. And of course, as you know, if you listen to the podcast about truck stops, I covered a lot of territory in a very short period of time and pretty tired and pretty burned out from the whole trip. Because of the fact that I had to cover those, I did it because I wanted to, but cover those, the caucuses and, chase political candidates all over Iowa. So I came back as quickly as possible to get here and to be here and to be available for tonight. And of course, as luck would have it, the MC was not able to be here tonight that they had hired. So Stephanie was like, you got to MC this. So I brought my PA system over here and I'm playing my iPod or iPad, whatever music on the PA system. And then I'm going to do some MCing a little bit later on, which we're going to close the podcast with. But I got back home and I set up the studio back at home. And so the second half of this podcast is going to be me kind of doing a little bit of an easy talker on some of the observations, because what I want to do is stay kind of up to date, if you will, on what's going on with the political situation. So this is kind of tough because when I get back to the studio, then I got to start thinking about political stuff, and I got to start thinking about, well, how far do I want to go? Because here we are in the middle of America on a Thursday night in February with an indoor dog park. People bring their dogs. They have a great time. They're going to do this dog fashion show. And it's another one of these pursuits that people have. So all over the country, and I've talked about this a lot, people have things that they do, whether it's some kind of art thing, or they have a motorcycle rally, or they go to an air show, or they do these other things where people from different walks of life kind of get together as part of a tribe, a dog tribe, or the art tribe, or something like that. And yeah, I suppose if you did a cluster analysis and you subjected the membership of people in those tribes, which is always informal, you're going to find people from different walks of life getting together, or you're going to find primarily one kind of quote-unquote political philosophy. But I would like to believe, let's just put it this way, I'd like to believe that there are people that get together at these events that have different political viewpoints, but they get together and they have friends and they bring their dogs, or they ride their motorcycles, or they go to the air show or whatever, and they put all that aside for a little while to celebrate something greater than themselves, whether it's an air show, as I said, or a motorcycle rally, or something, some artistic thing, or some community event, or something where people come together to do something. And I think hockey is a great example. My son played hockey. Of course, this is the big high school hockey period of time in Minnesota. And I remember when my son played hockey, one of the things I found fascinating was that you will hang out with people that you would never hang out with otherwise, and actually develop some friendships and some long-standing experiences that stand the test of time. Some of my best friends came from the period of time when we were doing travel hockey, going all over Chicago with the hockey tournaments and meeting people that I would never have associated with otherwise. That's what I'm talking about. And I think one of the things I want to talk about when I get back to the studio is the situation in this country where people are being really separated by two influences. One, too much political coverage, and too much of a need to feel to keep checking back on the political coverage and the way that the political coverage is written. And of course, the other thing, which is really becoming a serious problem, is of course social media, which does, it's supposed to bring, the whole idea of social media originally was these platforms were supposed to bring people together. They were supposed to be able to convene, and I suppose people do convene and come toward each other from different walks of life and different philosophies of life. But more than anything, I think what happens is that social media has a way of sorting people into groups that confirm biases, make biases worse, and further separate Americans. And one of the things I'm going to talk about in the second half of this podcast, again, is the fact that once you get out and you start seeing the country. You see its vastness. You see its diversity. And that's a word that's become completely overused. It means something completely different. But it's economic diversity. It's human diversity. It's geographic diversity. And you realize how big it is. And again, it's this force of nature argument that supersedes all of the other stuff. You don't see that when you see political coverage. You don't see that on social media. There's a certain smallness that comes from that experience. And then when you drive, and I mean you drive, and you drive the back roads, you begin to see this vastness. So it's great to come here and do this thing tonight, and great to be of service to Stephanie on short notice. Bring my PA and see, try out all my little systems for, you know, going out in the public with my PA system and everything. That's a riot. I can't wait to MC this thing. And then we'll go on from there in the second half of this podcast, podcast 906. So let's let the dog park for the time being fade away, and we will come back to join the crazy people with their dogs at Hounds and Hops in Northeast Minneapolis. But we are enjoying a spate of beautiful, warm weather in the Twin Cities, 40 degrees, 42 degrees, and we just came off a period of really cold, cold weather. This is the kind of weather, the swing back and forth between hot and cold, or warm and really cold. So I guess I would have to clarify this by simply saying, in Minnesota, we refer to warm as 40 degrees. Someplace in Virginia or Georgia, they'd say, it was cold last night, it was 32 degrees. Here, when it's 40, we say hot, especially this time of the year, because we just came off a week or two of literally 14, 15 below zero weather all over the state and all over this region. So this rocking back and forth between 14 below and 40 degrees happens in February, and usually most of February. We're almost out of it. March 21st is the beginning of spring, so that's just slightly less than 30 days away at the recording of this podcast. But this is the period of time where we're kind of transitioning, and this is the period of time where you start to have problems with plumbing. Not to go on too long, I always refer Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running in your home or business, you have to have somebody that knows what they're doing, because these systems are getting complex. Toilets, heating systems, furnaces, boilers, things of that nature, they're not like they used to be, where you might feel that you can fix it. Oftentimes, people try to fix their own stuff, and they cause bigger problems. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Reliable service. Here's the number in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. You know Ryan, they've been in Frogtown in St. Paul for four generations, and they go metro-wide. So it doesn't matter where you are. Invergrove, I always mention Invergrove. I don't know why. Minnetonka, Plymouth, Maple Grove, Brooklyn Park, and so forth. Down south, Eden Prairie, Edina, and then over in the Eastern Metro as well. And of course, St. Paul, South St. Paul, West St. Paul, all over the market. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, the boat anchor is back on the credenza here in the office, back in the studio at the BobDavisPodcast.com world headquarters. And I hate the printer. Why? Because I hate paying for those print cartridges. And you can get 30% off those cartridges at Cartridge World. And those cartridges from Cartridge World are guaranteed to perform as good as new. The one they gave me, the beginning one, the first one, is still printing. I haven't even opened the second cartridges. And that has never happened before with those store-bought cartridges that are just ridiculously expensive. Free delivery on qualifying orders. You can also get a free printer if you qualify. Cartridge World, 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com that says Cartridge World. So after being on the road and being in this zen-like travel space, it's certainly great to get back in the studio. It's hard to re-engage about politics even though I was all over Iowa covering politics. So it's weird because being out and being part of it is different from coming back and reading about it online or watching coverage of things like the debates. It's a whole different experience. When you are traveling, you're in this zen-like travel space, especially after all the hard work in Iowa. And it was hard work. A lot of people think when I do this, it's kind of like a vacation. And I have to tell you that this is definitely cobbled together with chewing gum and baling wire in a lot of ways. I'm dealing with an old vehicle. I did a whole podcast about it, and it doesn't have a lot of comfort. So every comfort that I have is in there and cobbled together. And I traveled with a generator, and I traveled with, you know, I have a camp stove and a cooler. And when you're working 14, 15 hours a day chasing these candidates all over the state and rushing to get to Iowa City from Council Bluffs or something like that, you do that for a month. And I did it for 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks, so it's really not a month. You have no idea how exhausted you get, and you can't really come home back to your truck and have a good night's sleep. You almost have to come back, bring all of your audio back, and start working on what you've got because it's still fresh in your mind what you saw. And so, what I'm trying to do with all these podcasts when I'm at these political events is to document the feeling of the political event, so the listener can put on a pair of headphones and they can walk through the event and be part of the event and feel what it's like to go to one of these events. Because the fact is, most people are never going to go to one of these events. They're going to read about them. They're going to see snippets of the candidates on the campaign trail. They're going to hear snippets in a debate that turns politicians into circus animals. And it's a terrible situation that we have in the country. So this is why I did this. And I did it also for my own edification. And so when I got back, people, again, you're still in this zen-like travel space and you're not really fully engaged to have a conversation about it, but they want to know what it's like. And I can tell you about that in the zen travel space, especially after going to Texas and going down to the beach and stuff like that. But then they will say things like, so who are you going to vote for? And then I say, well, I don't think I'm going to vote. And they have a fit. Well, it's your duty, and you have a responsibility, and that's nonsense. I can't believe I would say this, but I will say it. You are not compelled to vote in this country, and you never should be. If you don't want to vote, don't vote. If you do want to vote, vote, and good luck to you. And the zen-like travel space that I'm in is because I am not picking a winner and predicting a winner as though that means anything. And you guys know my philosophies about government and about the fact that we pay way too much attention to the presidency in this country. And we're seeing that with a presidential election. So all of the media is designed to predict the next waypoint. And then if that doesn't happen, then they predict something else. And so everyone is operating on this need to predict. And they can't believe that I went out and went to all those events and spent time with the Democrats and everything else. And still remain and say, which is what I said to this friend of mine, I don't have a dog in the fight. Because what we have in this country is we have a situation where we have created these, this odd sort of thing that I would say are personality-driven partisan groups that don't really have a reason for existing. And I don't care whether you're a partisan for Bernie or a partisan for Trump or a partisan for what name a candidate. It's a bizarre, in many cases, cult of personality. And then I will just refer to one current item because I think it's interesting. And this is this recent story that the Russians are intervening again in the U.S. election. And the word intervening is dangerous because intervening implies there's some dark purpose that they're going to fiddle with the voting machines or something like that. And based on what happened in Iowa, I would just say we're doing we, meaning the people that are designing these systems and the people that are operating these systems, at least in the Democrats' case in Iowa, are doing a very fine job screwing it all up without any help from the Russians. What the Russians are doing is putting up a whole bunch of these troll posts on social media. And my response when I heard that story, so the story is that they're gonna, the Russians have decided that they like Bernie Sanders and they like Donald Trump. They're gonna help both of them to the detriment of all of the others. And this is their intervention in the American political process. And it's done primarily on social media platforms and primarily Twitter and Facebook. Well, you gotta ask yourself, why people pay any attention to social media at all? Because what it does is it confirms their and I guess you could say it validates their viewpoints. So it's fertile ground for psychological manipulation. And if you allow yourself to be manipulated in this way, I feel sorry for you, especially when it comes to politics. So most of the questions have nothing to do with issues. Most of the time, they have to do with personalities. And I was a little surprised and bemused, I guess I should say, at the blowback from my friends in the Republican groups because I was covering the Democrats. And I am now furthermore convinced that covering the Democrats was the right thing to do. First of all, I have told friends, and I did mention in one of the podcasts that I got kicked out of a Mike Pence event because they're so priggish about media and who shows up. And the comms director for Pence gave me this whole story about how they've got to vet you weeks in advance, and yet you walk into a Bernie Sanders event, and I walked in with a bunch of guys that said, hey, we're digital, we're not on the list, and they went, oh, here's your press pass, and the same thing with me. But come on in, this is great. The reception, nobody ever asked me what my podcast was about. Nobody ever asked me who I was. Nobody ever asked, you know, nobody ever investigated me to find out if I was going to be on their side or not or anything else. They welcomed me with open arms and were very fine, very nice people. And I think it's very interesting that contrast between the Democrats and Mike Pence being very unwelcoming, overburdening security, and a ridiculous display of the imperial presidency. And he's only the vice president. I find that fascinating. The blowback. And why? Because a lot of people who are on one side of the political spectrum just cannot stand to listen to anything that they might potentially disagree with. Why did I do it? Well, first of all, I think the story is with the Democrats this year because there are so many people running, and this is why I covered the Republicans in 2016. I had no real interest in covering Hillary Clinton, and I had no real interest in covering Bernie Sanders at the time because it was such a binary race, whereas all of the energy was on the Republican side. And I did the same thing in 2016, including going down to South Carolina as well to cover Republicans down there. And as I have often talked about, I found out that that's impossible because the geography of South Carolina is so much larger than Iowa in terms of getting around the state. But anyway, I did this because I want my friends on both political ends of the spectrum, if there is a political spectrum in the United States, and I don't have time in this podcast to get into that because I don't think there is, and I'm going to close with that in a second, to be able to listen to what these people say and to get an idea of what they say without the editing and without the interpretation. So here's what the media does. Even if it's on YouTube, they start out with a premise. The time for single-payer health has arrived, and we are live in Iowa with candidate Tom Steyer. And here's our 30-second cut from Tom Steyer. Boom. Which proves, pays off on the premise of the story, which is that the time for single-payer health has arrived. Bang. That's the whole thing. They don't listen to the whole speech by Tom Steyer. They don't listen to Tom Steyer's story. They don't listen to why he thinks that or how he thinks that should be accomplished and what the costs will be. Same is true with Bernie. Same is true with all of them because everybody wants that 30-second bite that pays off on a premise that the producer has decided this is what this video is going to be about. This is what this story is going to be about, this 3-minute piece on a network newscast. And in fact, on shows like Today or Good Morning America or the ABC Network News, these pieces are 30 seconds or a minute and 30 seconds. And the opens on the, if you're going to do a talk piece on Fox or CNN or MSNBC, the open is at best 2 minutes. So you don't really get a time where you can sit down and listen. And so what I did was I built 30-minute slices of life in Iowa, and very proud to end it all with a caucus, because the caucus really was the coda on the story. And you will hear, if you listen to the caucus podcast, you will hear all the issues that came up in that whole thing, and you'll hear actual people in Iowa talking about it. So that's why I did it. I didn't do it because I wanted to make fun of the Democrats. I didn't do it because I am now a Democrat or anything like that. I did it because I wanted to provide this for people to listen to. And as the campaigns go, these speeches that were made, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Michael Moore, shilling for Bernie Sanders, or Pete Buttigieg, or any of these candidates, those speeches are still relevant and will remain relevant through most of the campaign. And they're very important because that's the only place in the country, for the most part, where these people are actually spending enough time to get to know voters and get to know what their issues are and talking to them face to face. And I've made a lot of fun of Iowa, but having gone deep into it this time, I have tempered my my negative opinions about Iowa being the first in the nation, quote unquote, caucus. And that's another podcast too, because that has to do with grassroots politics. So I would say I'm not just sitting this election out by refusing to pick a winner or pick someone to advocate for. I would say that I will be sitting all of the future elections out, because what I have discovered through the zen of travel and through this whole process going back to that podcast I did, Conservative Movement RIP, is I cannot add to the discourse by advocating for anyone, and I won't. And I cannot add to the discourse by advocating for a particular issue, because people don't listen, number one. And number two, these issues are very fluid. And I'll end with this, because it has to do with social media and the way people operate today in terms of their political viewpoints. We have a very, very, very perishable political situation in this country today, where news comes and goes so quickly that it's almost impossible to get a bead on anything. You start to respond to something, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and then something else happens. So it's impossible to get a bead on it. I am beginning to develop the feeling, and I'll just throw this out, that our political system is completely failing us, whether it is the two-party system that we're currently involved with. And I'm not suggesting third parties or anything else. I'm saying we currently are operating under one-party system, which has a history. I think that the parties are in the process of evolving, and I think we're going to end up with another party system soon. I also think that times are changing, and the country is changing, and the generations are changing, and the needs that they have are different from previous generations. And there's a lot of judgment about that, and a lot of negative judgment about that. But none of us can see the future. So when we talk about why Democrats are bad or why Republicans are bad, we're not thinking about issues deeply. We're not looking into the mechanics of solving particular problems. We're making judgments about personalities, and it has become a thoroughly distasteful project to engage on politics on a day-to-day basis. And many, many other people are beginning to come to this realization that we will better serve you as content creators by refusing to take a side and refusing to say this is good or bad. So it's a very difficult time, and it's a very difficult time in American politics right now. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to talk about politics. It means that I keep looking for that thread that will better serve people than me saying this is what I think we should do. So it's good to be back. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't know what I'm going to expound on next, but it is good to be back. And I really enjoyed the trip. And I think the best part of it really was covering the caucuses in Iowa. Well, one of the things that I see across the country is the American dream, and the American dream really is about building your own thing, whether it is a business, And really, it often finds its expression in your home, the property that you own. And these days, new houses are very expensive. And so people with expanding families or expanding needs usually need to remodel. And if you are thinking of doing that, so whether you're going to finish off the basement or add a master suite or maybe finish the basement, as I said, for your teenagers or do a man cave or anything like that, when you get ready to do that, you need a contractor who's going to be by your side from start to finish. That is Whitetail Builders, and I'm happy to refer Randy Grabo from Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. They're online at whitetailbuildersinc.com. There's a contact page there. Call Randy. Tell him what you want to do. He loves to talk about it, and I'll tell you a secret. He also loves to talk hockey and loves to talk about the Huskies. Call Randy Grabo at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, with you every step of the way and helping you construct your dreams. Okay, thanks for listening to Podcast 906, the Bob Davis Podcast, at thebobdavispodcast.com, right off the page. Also at Spotify. If you have an Android device, just load down the Spotify app. It's much easier than Stitcher or TuneIn or Google Play, although I'm in all those places, Blog Talk Radio, and of course the granddaddy iTunes, and many, many more. Thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and for your contributions, Ed, at thebobdavispodcast.com for mobile podcast men. Ed K, thanks for giving me $300. Also, Mike as well for $250. Thanks to you guys for keeping the Bob Davis Podcast going on the road. Thanks for listening to Podcast 906.
Soapbox where I can shout it.